Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will take a health check on the state of the U.S. economy, cover the road ahead for monetary policy, and speak about the overall impacts and implications of a U.S. government shutdown to economic activity. Joining me here for the conversation from the UBS Chief Investment Office, glad to welcome back asset allocation strategist for the Americas, Paul Hsiao. With that, Paul, thank you for dropping by, for spending some time with our listeners, our clients. Nice to have you back with us.
My pleasure, Dan. Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, heading into the week, the intent was to cover the September jobs report on this morning's episode. However, with the U.S. government shutdown having taken effect midweek this week, there is currently a pause with respect to the release of government economic reporting. Though I am curious, do you have a sense for what the health of the labor market looks like with the data we do have? And with respect to a prolonged government shutdown, what are some potential impacts, implications to economic activity?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I think when it comes to assessing the labor market data, the general story is that forecasters, market participants, they are expecting just general softness in the labor market, and that's been one of the large reasons why we believe the Fed's been more proactive in rate cutting, especially this year. Job growth has been weakening for some time. We had that revision earlier this year that really put into question the trend of job growth. And without the official non-farm payrolls report, a lot of market participants have to look at alternative indicators like the ADP employment number, where we had a pretty weak number that just came out, and the revisions also showed generalized weakness. So that's a private sector report that already confirms weakness. And we've had the earlier numbers from non-farm payrolls showing pretty prolonged softness in the official numbers too. So that's what market participants were expecting going into this report this year. In terms of a government shutdown, usually markets tend to look through that when it comes to the stock market and bond market, but real economic indicators like consumer confidence, spending to some extent, can be weakened around this time because you have hundreds of thousands of government workers who are either furloughed or they're having their next paycheck put into question. So the longer a government shutdown gets put into place, then the more pronounced this weakness becomes.
So outside of the labor market, which of course is a very significant component of economic activity, how would CIO currently assess the health of the overall U.S. economy?
Right. So while we have weak softness in the labor market, and part of that is it comes from both sides. You have definitely a relaxation for demand of labor, but also in supply with the ongoing immigration controls and just fewer people quitting their jobs right now amid some economic uncertainty. So even though you have softness in the labor market, and I said that that's been what's been driving a lot of the Fed policy right now, consumption, which makes up, you know, 3/4 of the U.S. economy, has been actually quite holding up quite well. We have the recent retail sales numbers that seem unfazed by higher prices and tariffs. And we have the Atlanta Fed GDP Now number tracking a near 4% quarter-over-quarter annualized rate for Q3. So that would be 2/4 of above-trend growth, which is something that a lot of forecasters didn't expect in a year where we have a lot of economic uncertainty and also the negative effects from the tariffs. So the U.S. economy, it's running on, I think it can be confusing to read because usually when you have job growth slow down a lot, this usually leads to layoffs and then unemployment rate rising. We don't have that so far. Layoffs have been still quite low. Consumption has been quite strong. Part of that is due to just wage growth running above inflation, so your real wage gains. But also consumption has increasingly become unequal in that higher incomes, the top 10% of income, are driving anywhere between 40 to 60% of income. So just the bulk of consumption right now. And those households have been really buoyed by healthy balance sheets thanks to, you know, stock market and housing market appreciation. So as long as that keeps continuing, it's hard to see consumption really slowing down meaningfully. That certainly takes up our GDP expectations for this year, just mechanically looking at the revisions from Q2 and looking at a pretty decent number for Q3. So Overall conditions are still quite good. Just one particular softness in the labor market that I think market participants and the Fed is watching out for.
And with the Fed, Paul, if we take a look at monetary policy coming off of the September FOMC meeting, where we did see the central bank cut rates by 25 basis points, what are CIO's expectations for the road ahead as we make our way through the balance of 2025 and even into 2026?
So we still expect the Fed to ease its policy going into this year. About two more cuts for this year, and then one more cut in 2026. So that's about 100 basis points of rate cuts total, and that should take policy much closer to what we estimate to be what some estimates to be the neutral rate, or where policy is neither stimulative or restrictive at that point. And I think that's somewhat in line with consensus. And I think the signaling from the Fed, especially from the a conference that we got in September, is saying that the direction of travel is clearly for lower rates. But I think the Fed is at a difficult position because of this sort of contradictory data in the U.S. economy, where we have definitely a weaker labor market, but still buoyed by healthy consumption. One of the Fed's mandates, obviously, is to keep maximum employment. That's part of the reason why they're easing rates right now. But if the economy still is quite good, even some risk to the upside in the second half of the year, and you have some inflationary effects due to tariffs, I think if the economy keeps running at a pretty healthy pace and prices rise a little faster than expected, that could inhibit further rate cuts from the Fed. So that's something that markets are watching out for. I wanted to point out something else with the Fed, which is just due to personnel. I think September was the first time we had a Trump 2.0 appointment in Steve Miron going to the board. For markets, what this means is more of a dovish tilt going into 2026 expected from the Fed. And that's led to, I think, anticipated steepening in the 2-10 curve, for example, in the fixed income markets. To anticipate, this dovish tilt from the Fed.
And on the point of personnel within the Fed, Paul, just given the headline we did see this week, that Supreme Court ruling, does it appear that Fed Governor Cook's post will remain intact as of now?
It seems to be the case. I think the issue is that a lot of policy right now from the White House doesn't have a lot of precedent, and And with so many things going on, for us, it seems that there's a lot of avenues to track, whether it comes uncertainty from tariffs, uncertainty from legislation and shutdowns, and then uncertainty from personnel. This is just one more thing to add. But for the time being, it does look like Lisa Cook will serve at least through January, if not anymore. But regardless, whether Lisa Cook stays on or not, and even in my case, most folks think that Lisa Cook is a dove. So I think this actually helps the White House when it comes to their desire to lower interest rates.
Got it. Well, thank you, Paul, for the clarity on that and for spending some time with our listeners, our clients on this Friday morning to provide a state of the U.S. economy and share some thoughts on the road ahead for monetary policy. Very productive conversation. So thank you again, Paul, and do look forward to having you back on the program again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, companies and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.